Thank you, Mark, very much. It's very good fun having you leading a meeting. Hello again, everybody. Okay, so in the last few months, we have been looking at a series called Living Out Our Faith. Graham, have we got that first slide? We might in a moment. And we've been looking at how we live out our faith. But we asked, first of all, okay, if we're living out our faith, what on earth is our faith? And I've shown this before, but I like it. Christianity is a person. I have a friend. He's really good. And you should meet him. And this morning, what I want to do is I want to look at that friendship with Jesus. And I want to look at an incredible aspect of that friendship, which is his amazing grace. Which I thought was quite appropriate since we've just dedicated Grace Clary this morning. And grace is absolutely fundamental to this thing that we call faith. And getting a hold of it is really important for us. So here we are this morning, living out our faith by walking in grace. But what is grace? And what does it mean for us? If you're here this morning and church isn't something that you normally do, then actually that word might not mean too much to you. Actually, if you're here and you normally do church, it might not mean that much to you either. It could be a word that you've heard a lot, but actually, you know, it's really hard for us to understand what grace is very often. And I find the pressure of living in the world we live in squeezes grace out of our lives. Because grace is undeserved, and everything the world tells us is we need to deserve things. So actually, welcome to everybody. I think we're all in the same boat, whether you know about grace, whether you don't know about grace. And our aim this morning is to make you excited about grace. What I want to do is I want to do two things. I want to show you that grace is an amazing offer from God for every one of us. And I just want to give you a glimpse of what it can do in our lives. Now, to illustrate what grace is, I want to do two things. First of all, I want to show you a short video clip, and then I want to tell you a story. I think that's actually a really vivid illustration. Grace is about being treated better than we deserve. And grace isn't fair. It's grace. That's the whole point of it. And what we see is Jesus there standing in our place. We take his goodness as he forgives us the stuff that's not been so great in our lives. I think that's a really good illustration of the offer of grace. And what I want to do is I want to follow that up with a story from the Bible, which illustrates it a little more, about a man whose faith in Jesus actually has made him famous throughout history, but we don't know anything about him. We don't know his name, we don't know anything about his life, and we meet him in only the last few hours of his life. All we know about him is he was a criminal. Luke, who was one of Jesus' disciples, wrote an account of life with Jesus when he was on earth, which is called Luke's Gospel in the Bible. And he describes the scene like this. Two other men, both criminals, were also led out with Jesus to be executed. When they came to the place called the Skull, there they crucified Jesus along with the criminals, one on his right, the other on his left. This man who we meet was a criminal being crucified with Jesus. And Luke tells us that all the people looking on shouted abuse, they sneered, they jeered at Jesus. He saved others. Let him save himself if he's the Christ, the chosen one. If you're the king of the Jews, then save yourself. Eventually, even one of the criminals crucified with Jesus joined in. Aren't you the Christ? Then save yourself and save us too. But quite unexpectedly, one person comes to Jesus' defence, somebody really unlikely. And that's the other criminal who was hanging next to him. He interrupts all of the abuse and he says this, "Don't you fear God. We're being punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong." And the criminal recognized his own guilt. He knew he was getting everything he deserved. He knew he hadn't done anything to deserve anything good in the life to come, and the only hope he had was to be treated better than he deserved. And so what he does is he cries out to Jesus, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Now, I think the kingdom of heaven was reserved for good people. And actually, you know, this man really wasn't going there. And actually, I don't think saying sorry just hours before you're going to die really cuts it for all the stuff that you've done wrong over all the years. We're all sorry, aren't we, when we get face to face with the consequences of what we've done wrong. And you know, this man, he had nothing to offer to set things right. He couldn't make amends for anything he'd done. He's hanging on a cross about to die. He was on his way to getting exactly what he deserved. End of story. That's fair. But you know what? Jesus decided to be extravagantly unfair. Luke tells us Jesus answered him. Now, what we have to understand about when you're being crucified is every breath is agony. So to speak is excruciating pain. So why would Jesus bother to waste his breath on somebody who was a criminal, who was getting what he deserved? But you know what? Jesus says this to him. "I assure you, today you will be with me in paradise." How can that be? How could a man who had done so much wrong go to the same place as Jesus, who was somebody who lived well, loved everyone, and welcomed people, who was in fact wrongfully crucified? That's not fair, is it? But that's grace. None of us are ever good enough to make the grade. None of us have done everything right. We've all done things wrong. We've all hurt people. We've all been out for ourselves at the expense of others. Some more and some less. But it doesn't matter. We don't make the grade. We saw that, didn't we, in that video clip. The bloke who comes and he goes, "Well, I've done nearly everything right. But there's still those things in our lives." But that's the fantastic thing about the grace of God and the offer that Jesus makes to every one of us. Thank you, Rachel. Do you know every single one of us is invited? And we all get into grace the same way. We're all invited in. Every single one of us here and every single person outside these walls in the community around us. The whole of humanity is invited by Jesus into grace. It's amazing. We're invited to live in it, to enjoy it. It's the grace, the gift of God that treats us better than we deserve always, always. And the way in is Jesus. Grace is free to us, but it was actually really costly to Jesus. We see him hanging on the cross. He died in the place of all of us so that he could say to each one of us, "Today you will be with me in paradise." In other words, today you can live in a relationship with me and know me, regardless of how we've lived in the past. And never as a result of what we've earned, but simply because of what he's done for us. That's not fair. It's much better than fair. It's grace. Jesus came to everybody. He came to church people and non-church people. He came to good people, bad people, and a little bit bad people, without distinction. And what he wants is for us to walk in a close relationship with him and walk in his grace. He wants us to be free and he wants us to be happy. Who was here last week and heard Terry? Don't worry, be happy. He wants us not to be crushed by having to behave in a certain way, by having to live up to expectations, by having to earn stuff. He wants grace to be what we talk about, how we live, and he wants us to extend it to everybody we meet, just like Jesus did. Grace is expansive. It's huge. It's generous. It's without limits. It empowers us. It frees us. It is simply amazing. So, we need to live out our faith by walking in grace, because grace is quite simply the most amazing thing. It heals our souls. It brings us life, and it helps us relate to one another. Now, what can grace do in our lives? That's the offer of grace. But grace has in it the power of God to change our lives, to completely transform us from the inside out if we will let it. And I've got another video clip to show you which illustrates this really well. How amazing is that? Once we get hold of grace, and it gets hold of us through an ongoing daily relationship, friendship with Jesus, our lives are transformed by it. So many of us here today can say, my life's been transformed by grace, can't we? Yeah, go on, put your hands up. If your life's been transformed by the grace of God. Jesus offers us amazing, transforming grace, all for free. Now, some of us here have known Jesus for a long time, some of us for only a short time. But however long we've known him, his desire for us is that we look after his grace, his gift, really well. We've got to nurture it in our own lives. We've got to not slip back into the world's ways of earning and deserving his love, because we don't have to. We can't. We need to keep a check on our minds, on our attitudes, and we need to just practice thankfulness every day. Thank you, God, for your grace in my life. Bringing it to mind, because do you know what? He always, always treats us better than we deserve. It is his greatest pleasure to lavish his love and goodness on every single one of us. So, what do we do with this? What do we do tomorrow morning when we wake up and we go to work and we rush into our world? Do you know what? I think that all of us here in the church are asked by Jesus to be an illustration of God's grace in what is a really graceless world that we live in. Here in our church family, I think Jesus wants this to be a place where grace flows freely in our relationships and our family life. What does that look like? I think that looks like us forgiving one another, being kind to one another, being generous with everything we have and everything we are, being encouraging, being welcoming, overlooking one another's wrongs, not judging one another, not being critical of one another, believing the best of one another. Isn't that hard? Believing the best of one another and drawing out the best that's in each of us that God has put there. And I also think we need to be the people who give that grace out to everybody, wherever we go. Never treating people as they deserve, but always lavishing goodness and grace on them. I think God wants us to be generous people with everybody we meet, not just with our stuff, but with our attitudes, with our judgments, with our thoughts, with our speech, and with our actions. I think Jesus wants us to be people who reflect what he's like, full of undeserved grace and love. I'd like to challenge us all with a quote from a book written by a man called Bill Hybels. He's written this amazing book called Just Walk Across the Room. And actually, as a church, we're going to be studying this in September and October for 4 weeks. We're going to be talking about it on Sundays. We're going to be doing it in small groups, individual study. It is a fantastic book. So I'm going to whet your appetite for it. But he says this in this book, and I love it. The adventure of collaborating with God involves bestowing the greatest gift a person can receive, the gift of amazing grace, on unsuspecting, on undeserving and often unsuspecting people like you and me. And I think our challenge is just to ask ourselves every morning, Lord, who can I bestow the gift of amazing grace on today? And to actively look for who that person might be as we just go through our life. So let's do what Jesus died to make possible. Let's make God's rich, rich grace accessible to everybody, both in here with one another, we practice in here on one another, and then out there in the world that we live in and the community we're a part of. Let's live differently to people around us. We're called to be different. We're called to live differently, to love differently. We're called to treat everybody way better than they deserve, because that's grace. And doesn't the Bible tell us, do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed. If you don't know Jesus today, I just want to say I'm not sure how you could pass up the offer of grace. It is so amazing, and it will cost you nothing, and you will gain everything. You know, grace just gives us love that never fails us, and lasting change and transformation in our lives. It's that grace of Jesus that assured that dying criminal next to him that within hours he would find himself in the presence of God. If you're interested by this offer of grace and you want to know more about it, please come and talk to me at the end. Don't leave without exploring it some more. Because today, you could be in paradise with Jesus. Today, you could begin a relationship with him and truly know him. And all you have to do is ask. All the criminal said was, Jesus, remember me. That's all we have to do. Jesus, remember me. And oh my goodness me, he does. Every single one of us. My conviction is that grace is super important for us as people. It's important, a foundation of our faith. And I think it's really good that we dig into it and we start to learn about it and live in it. And I was thinking about grace, and it felt to me a bit like I had a picture of it like an ocean, and I'm standing on the edge of the ocean. Now, some people, and there may be people here, when they want to get in and swim, they just jump in. My son's like that. He just gets in. Me, I'm not quite like that. I'm on the edge. I have to go in slowly, and it comes up, and I get acclimatized, and then I leap in. And I think grace is a bit like that. Some people here will just have thrown themselves in. It's fantastic, I'm there. Others of us, because of the way we're wired, the way our family history's been, what we've picked up, it's really hard to unlearn the deserved bit. But grace is undeserved, and we have to inch our way in and get it into our systems and get acclimatized to it. I'm one of those people, I have such a strong work ethic that the whole thing of undeserved grace and love and favour is real hard for me to cling on to. And I've purposefully said, you know what, I'm going to study this, I'm going to get this in me because this is so amazing and freeing. So I'm going to encourage you to come on that journey with me. I've been studying a book called Annelie Stanley, The Grace of God. This is an amazing study of grace through the Bible. Andy Stanley is a fantastic writer. He has a brilliant style, really, really engaging. I've never read anything like it before. I would really encourage you to get one of these books and start to read it. Really, really readable. It looks like that. If you get a brand new one, reprinted. I've got 10 copies of this here this morning. And I would really like to make them available to you because I so believe that we need to get grace in us because it's fantastic. If you want to come and get these, they're £10 if you can afford to pay for them. If you can't afford to pay for them, you can have one free because I so believe in the value of this. I'm really happy just to give them away. And if you want more than 10 of you want them, I can do some orders via Tony at Quench and we can get some more for you. But I just really encourage you guys, the grace of God is amazing. Let's drink it in, be changed by it, be transformed by it. I just really want to pray, if that's okay, just as I finish. Yeah, Father God, Lord, I just want to thank you for the gift of grace. Lord, I want to thank you that it is absolutely undeserved and totally not earned. That God, you are so kind and loving, you lavish that grace on us because you love us, every one of us. God, would you rewire us? Would you change us? Would you transform us so that we can get your grace and live in it and love it and enjoy it every day of our lives? And then we can share it around with everybody we meet. Father God, thank you. You are amazing. In Jesus' name, amen.